Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, you know, I didn't need more reasons to avoid Arby's, but thanks, I guess. And with me, I have...
Sometimes I make terrible life decisions. Almost all of them involve Pete Davidson.
And...
I wonder why Freddie Gibbs is trending right now on Twitter. And, shit, he got his ass beat by being the Butcher Goons.
Oh?
Oh, boy. For those who don't know, them two have been beefing a lot. Which, honestly, that can be kind of sad because I thought them two were tight. Considering they collab on a couple songs here and there. And now, yeah. It's one of those beasts where it's like, I hope it's just sticking to wax. Now it's like not getting this shit, which I'm kind of frustrated with, which, yeah.
Okay, far be it from me to, you know, pick sides in a feud like this, because I'm only just now hearing of this, but I will say, really? Benny the Butcher, you couldn't be bothered to get your own hands dirty? Like, if you're going to have beef with someone, handle it yourself.
This beef is something that I really, really don't like, considering hell, most fans of both teams don't like this shit. They squash the shit, but I don't know what to say about that shit.
Look, sometimes people are very, very unreasonable. Just. Beef make so, no sense.
Yeah.
It's probably a Boondocks joke words, we can make here, but at least Everyone involved is still alive.
Yeah, true. I just say don't expect any future class between him and both of them, I guess any Griselda member. I mean, I don't know, they beef with them, just like I guess by association they ain't gonna fuck with them, But enough about hip hop beef.
Yeah, enough of that. So here we are with episode 266 of this podcast. How's everyone's week been going?
Fairly good week. The basketball's been wonderful. The hockey's been very good. Very close games, which I can't stay up late for the West Coast games because they go into like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I like to have good nights of sleep. Well, I watch whenever I can. Though, my curiosity got the worst of me, and I decided to watch a movie on Netflix. Marmaduke. Starring Pete Davidson. I don't know what layer of hell this movie came from, but it deserves to go back and rot in that layer of hell for the rest of time eternal. No exaggeration, it is one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
I got a bottle of whiskey all the way on the other side of the room. You sure you don't want any?
No, I take care of my troubles and other vices.
All right. Fair enough.
When you explained that, I saw a smartwatch commercial with Pete Davidson in it.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
I do not understand what anyone sees in him, let alone fucking Kim Kardashian, but maybe I'm just not third eye enough to fully realize it.
Maybe they like goofy white boys.
I don't understand it. I really don't. I'm like...
Yeah, we live in the darkest timeline. But we, of course, move on. Anyways, Mark, what about you?
My week has been the same old shit that's going on. And I admit, I got the curiosity of checking out this anime people been talking about, at least some people talking about, the one about golfing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, that was this season?
Birdie Wing. Yes.
That's this season. And, okay, first of all, I'll check it out there. Like, Why's the fucking wrestler here? What the fuck is going on? Why's there a golf chick there? And something about, I don't know. It's like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but fuck it, I'm watching.
Wait, you're telling me someone managed to make golf interesting?
By making it absolutely crazy.
Pretty much. That's what I got from the show. I was like, okay, this is some interesting shit. Could this been dubbed instead?
Oh wait, is it not being dubbed in any way?
No, at least not yet.
Yet.
Because of your typical isekai fantasy bullshit. 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, whatever. Yeah. I know. You got plenty of that coming up when you do your...
We're doing that in the next couple of days. There will be plenty of good times to talk about and a couple of roasts as well.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's pretty much it. That's it.
Alright, cool. As for me, well, it was a friend's birthday of mine over the weekend, one of my best friends, so I drove a little bit up north to go see her and, you know, her spouse and all. There was lots of drinking at this bar where there was this boomer-ass band playing. You ever hear a bunch of, like, 50 or 60-something-year-old dudes covering 90s rock jams? It's really weird.
Oh, boy.
Ew.
This is why it's in a bar, because then you can order alcohol. It definitely helps.
You can drink the pain away.
You know, it makes seeing a bunch of old guys singing Blink 182 palatable. And I finally got to tell one of my friends about Tom DeLonge's weird UFO conspiracy bullshit. The look on their face was priceless. But that's pretty much about it for the weekend. So now to move on to our usual business, which of course starts off with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description below, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes to vibe out to. So with this first track, I think it's probably best if we throw it over to our boy Mark here to get the ball rolling.
Yes. So apparently, but those of us don't know, Danger Mouse, last time we heard of him when we did a project with Karen O back in 2019, is coming again doing some hip-hop shit with, Black Thought of the Roots. Alright, and he got a clap album coming out called Cheat Codes, coming out in, let's see, August 12th. Oh, okay. And we got our single out with the title No Gold Teeth. And I gotta say, the production is very bluesy, very kind of like that lo-fi bluesy type of shit. It's something that has that old school feel to it. And of course, doesn't know there isn't those in hip hop spectrum that people recognize Black Thought as a damn good lyricist. And then the lyricists are, somebody that got bars for days. And I can see that with some bars. Like, I got everybody me much like Nick Nolte, but nah, I won't stop, I won't drop, I won't retire. I'm my own supplier, selling goods to the buyer, hosting my eyes to the storm that's on fire. The native translator, each joint I charted higher. Because my IG, I applied deny. Told me I'm in the top three, never lied. And the video, which is basically it's a black and white, and you freaking, we see him rap, but it's just a picture of, I don't know, any just random object you see covering his face. It's like, a dog or whatever the fuck you see in there. It's kind of trippy. I also want to mention that the track list is kind of interesting, because you got appearances from Raekwon, Joey Badass, Delayed MF Doom, and a track that got both ASAP Rocky and Ronda Jules on him.
Damn. You have my attention.
Huh. An yeah. MF Doom yeah, so maybe, verse on a Danger Mouse project. It's like old times.
Yeah.
Yeah, old times.
Yeah. Old times.
August 12th. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the second track here. Looks like we got a new project in the pipeline from the band Soilwork. Their newest album is coming out August 19th, and I believe this title is pronounced Overgivenheten. I probably put unnecessary accentuations there, but I couldn't really find like a pronunciation guide, so there you go. So, of course, to kick off the announcement, we have the release of the title track from the album. And if you're familiar with Soilwork's style up to this point, you probably have a good idea of what to expect, opening with very dramatic, sweeping soundscapes of drifting guitars, choir vocals, and even a touch of probably banjo or something, or some other kind of, like, you know, country or folk-ish string instrument. Then eventually, once the full band kicks in, you get the expected mix of soaring guitar melodies, energetic driving riffs, and especially the great vocals of Bjorn Strid hitting some pretty powerful, you know, screams and soaring melodic highs. Very catchy, strongly written melodies, nice balance of that and the heavy stuff. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
It's always great when a heavy song like this has an identifiable melody to its hook and structure. It does go a long way for me with this kind of stuff that I like. Especially here with how just rock solid the chorus is in terms of vocal delivery and guitar melody. This is excellent. And it's got me interested for more. So yeah, good stuff, lads. Good stuff.
Oh yeah, if you love melody, definitely a lot of their backlogs worth checking out.
Now, makes you wonder if Dirk Vivirin has second thoughts about leaving them for Megadeth.
We can only wonder. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So there's this DJ named Illenium. Don't know much about them other than glancing at their Wikipedia page. 4 albums to their name, a smattering of EPs, various collaborations with the likes of I Prevail, Angels and Airwaves, Trippy Red, Ian Dior, Ex-Ambassadors, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, no.
And has remixed songs for the likes of Lana Del Rey, Florence and the Machine, Marshmello, and others. Now, this sounds like exactly the type of guy I give zero fucks about on any normal day. But we're only making an exception here because Illenium released a new song called Shivering, which features a guest appearance that I do, in fact, give all of the shits about. Spirit Box! Sadly, despite my enthusiasm at that shouting, the song's not exactly up to the standard you would expect. Like, okay, Courtney LaPlante, of course, sounds great on this. But if you were actually expecting what would sound like a proper full band collaboration with some kind of dubsteppy producer type guy, yeah, it pretty much just sounds like Courtney LaPlante's vocals transplanted over dubstep that's trying to sound like Spirit Box, sort of, but not quite. Like, bless its heart, it's trying, but it just feels like all the great songwriting that makes Spirit Box usually great is kind of suffocated under way too much of the synthetic BS. It just doesn't really hit the same, you know?
Well, this sure is different, I'll get to that, so I'm not too fond of that kind of stereotypical early 2010s wub-wub sound that's honestly, I thought we were past that by now. But I guess it's a small price to pay for the Spirit Boxisms on the track, which is always great, even if the lyrics are kind of repetitive. Just yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Well, apparently we're getting another new Black Midi album this year, following up pretty shortly after the last one, which was just last year or something, which, yeah, quick turnaround. So the new project is called Hellfire. It's due out July 15th, and we appropriately have the lead single here, which, fittingly enough, is titled Welcome to Hell. And it certainly sounds like it. It's got a lot of what you would expect from Black Midi 3 albums in, mainly driven by a lot of those, like, twangy guitar chords that have that very kind of I don't know how to call it other than an anxiety-inducing, like, chord progression. Like, just something about the sound of it just kind of makes my hairs and stuff stand on end. Like, But in a good way, of course. I mean, it's a noise rock band. What do you expect? The drums hold down the beat pretty solidly for the most part. But of course, as the song builds on, there's just more and more layers of instrumentation and noise. These kinds of back and forth instrumental breaks between the guitars, drums, blaring horns, all kinds of other shit. And eventually, like, back towards the end, there's this vast, like, pickup in energy that has this almost kind of carnival punk, I want to say, vibe to it. But yeah, it's definitely the kind of all-over-the-place franticness you'd expect with Black Midi. And it also has a wacky, bizarre cartoon music video to go with it as well. One that I'm not entirely sure would be able to pass broadcast standards on Toonami, but a guy can dream, can't he?
This feels like a really strange mashup of ideas from Frank Zappa and David Byrne and King Crimson and the Tragically Hip, and I kind of like it. Like, this is weird, but it's good weird. Very chaotic, crazy weird. Yeah, not to mention the psychedelic as all hell animated video that amps up the weirdness to another level. So this just goes all over the place, but in a good way. In a way that kind of makes sense despite not making sense.
Indeed. But now we can move on to something that certainly does make much more sense, you know, compared to Black Midi at least. So we have a brand new single here, courtesy of the guitar wizards in Polyphia. This track is titled Playing God, and if you're familiar with where we were on their last full-length studio album, then some of this is going to sound familiar to you, specifically in the bass and drum section, which is still very much mimicking the kind of synthetic production you hear in a lot of contemporary, you know, electronic and rap songs, like that kind of rhythmic mindset with, you know, the hi-hat rhythms and the snare to the bass slaps and everything. But the guitars this time are pretty much overwhelmingly focused on complex Spanish flamenco style arrangements. I don't know what kind of guitars those guys are playing in the music video, but they sound great as hell, and they look cool as shit being played there. With just absolutely just, it's a vibe. Like, this is the kind of thing that really makes you feel like you're chilling out on, like, I don't know, a deck in a nice expensive, like, Spanish villa. The kind of thing that makes you want to eat an entire plate of fancy cheeses with unpronounceable names while just sitting there with your glass of wine that probably costs more than your rent. It's very, very fine and classy is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the vibe you're thinking of is Ferrero Rocher mixed with plum liqueur.
Is that a thing?
It's chocolate with fancy liquor, so, I mean, yeah, in some circles, yeah.
Yeah, I recognize one of those names. Yeah, I recognize that.
Yeah. I mean, Ferrero Rocher is a brand of chocolate, but, yeah. I'm much for Ghirardelli myself, but it really is amazing to look at the musical progression of this band over the last few years. Look at the song Light. It's a pretty standard prognal instrumental. Then you get the remix version, Lit, and that style change with more electronic and hip-hop production seems to work very well in their favors. The proof being New Levels, New Devils. And now we have acoustic guitar work mixed with trappy production, and even a bit of bossa nova groove infused to it. I remember that's what Tim Henson said on with an interview with Tyler Larson, you know, Music Is Win, a while back. It makes for a very interesting track. I'm wondering if there's going to be more like it in a possible upcoming album.
We'll just have to wait and see. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Now for the next track here.
Should I take over?
Go ahead, man. I got the whiskey on standby. Just tap if you need it.
Okay. It's a tale of two Chicago rappers in the early 2010s. That was their careers, and then during the late 2010s, their career sort of went downward a bit. One of them, well, you already know why. The other was just because that one album that was kind of ass, as in that 93 Punks album, and the fact that he sold this as a Tatasian when he was dead, and people did not take that the right way.
Oh.
Yeah. And also his career. So, Vic Mensa and Chance the Rapper.
Oh, hey, Vic Mensa. Yeah. I haven't heard from you since you tried going punk. Keyword tried.
Yeah, that didn't go well. And the coin. So anyway, these two have rapped before together, and now they got some sort of, well, just a Lucy. There's a Lucy called Rafe, as they called their writing exercise.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I saw like a writing exercise too in the recommended videos.
Yeah, apparently been doing this for some time now. I guess they're just doing some little thing. And okay, with this, I mean, it ain't as terrible as their past things. It's from movies, motherfuckers. I mean, it's more of a lyrical type of shit. Like names like the Rangers, I write in stone, shoot on my neck, we write in this room, stars on the roof. Whereas the wars on at home, I swear this shit felt like Attack of the Clones. Okay, this one, and then there's a chance for you, says, pick up the paper, pick up the phone, she after the long, work in the morning, and that bitch gone, we not in Kansas, Patrick Mahomes. Okay.
Well.
But then it gets a little bit lonely. He's gonna say it. Saying the body, the head, I'm part of the body, I'm part of the blade. Okay, then you said the body a lot. Do you like the band The Body? I mean, I come into this not having expectations as much because let's be honest, these two have at their low points in life, well, in the career, as I said before. This is just, I mean, it, I mean, it's just a writing exercise. So, I don't know. It's like, I give both of y'all a 5.5. Fuck it, there you go.
Yeah, it exists, I guess. Hopefully, that one it's Target employee got paid double for having to deal with them filming in a store. Seriously, like, imagine just trying to work your job, and then Chance the Rapper's waving around a smartphone in the electronics section.
And still wearing that three hat.
Oh, God.
Like, ain't that for a new hat? Like, yeah, I don't know, like, four or five? I don't know, some grease or some shit, I don't know.
Just remember, we always skip over the number four. It does not exist. Anyway, moving on to the very final track here. Let's paint a picture really quick. So, imagine it's last Thursday. You're all curled up in your bed. Well, you're probably sitting at a computer. You're just sitting there refreshing Apple Music, Spotify, what have you. Waiting for Kendrick Lamar to drop Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. It's the big thing that's happening, like, that night, that Friday. The big thing. Everyone's been waiting for this album for 5 years. Nothing else could possibly happen. No one would dare try to do anything else that night to attempt to either compete with or even upend the hype of Kung Fu Kenny dropping a new album. And then My Chemical Romance happens. So, the band, I'm pretty sure, has recently started undergoing their reunion tour, finally after a couple years of delays. I hope my ticket's still good for September. And yeah, just out of the blue, on Thursday evening, they tweet out a link to something called The Foundations of Decay, which is in fact a whole ass new My Chemical Romance song. Their first in like 8 years since the one they recorded for, I forget what the name of it was. I think it was some kind of compilation or greatest hits project or something. But yeah, here we are. Year of Our Lord 2022. New My Chemical Romance material, possibly a new album, maybe. There's rumors floating around based on some of the tour merchandise that's been, you know, being sold that there might be something, but, well, I'll wait until we see it. So, what exactly do we have here with this new track? So, it has this very, as expected, kind of moody intro segment with a lot of drifting clean guitars and this very kind of morose slow build, you know, kind of starting very soft spoken in the instrumentation and even Gerard's vocals slowly building to that bigger explosion of a chorus, which has, you know, just a lot of passion to it. And, you know, what stands out to me is how rough the song sounds. Like, you can especially hear it in Gerard Way's vocals. Not that he doesn't sound bad, it's just that the production sounds very, like, rough. Like, this, like, what we're listening to is kind of like a partially mixed demo, or almost kind of like something from ye olden days, like before they got all big and refined and all that. And in a weird way, when you listen to the song lyrically, that's kind of part of the point. Like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of the lyrical tropes you'd expect. Take a shot for a 9/11 reference. But the song itself kind of is about, like, them when they were, like, at the top of the world, now however many years down the road, trying to, like, revisit all of that and kind of what they're supposed to do now relative to what, you know, they kind of established back in the day. And the, you know, songwriting definitely kind of reflects that, because it does sound like very, like, pre-overly theatrical MCR. Like, this ain't quite Black Parade, definitely not Danger Days. It's, you know, it's got some more grit to it, especially in the back half, or like two-thirds of the way through, when the song belts out some heavier chord progressions, a bit more soloing, and definitely some more shouted, gritty vocals from Gerard Way. I am very intrigued. We're going to have to keep a close eye on things until a new announcement of anything happens.
Well, I can tell you, yes, they are now on tour. They played their first show in England, and this song was actually the show opener.
Nice.
There's a very, very full set list here, and yeah, the compilation was Conventional Weapons, where they did a couple more songs. As for this one, I did not like Danger Days that much. Maybe I can give it another listen and with a clearer mindset and probably come around to it. I don't know. But when this dropped, I remember saying that I have waited 15 years for this. For this style of My Chemical Romance to come back. And yes, I know, a big point of contention is the production here. So let me just say, I like it. The compressed, lo-fi-ish sound fits for the mood that they're going for on here. Again, just look at the lyrics. He was there the day the towers fell, and so he wandered down the road, and we would all build towers of our own, only to watch the rooms corrode. This is like early, early My Chemical Romance in tone and structure and sound, especially when you get to that, you know, very harsh, screaming, you know, breakdown section, which is just amazing. My only hope is that this will lead to a full album, because a full MCR album with tracks like this to harken back to I brought you my bullets, you brought me your love. I never remember that name. If it's like that, sign me up.
We just have to let time do its thing. Because unfortunately, we can't jump forward in time. Damn it. Look, I promise. I'm working on the technology as we speak. There's a lot of money being spent. But that pretty much about does it for the new song discussion here. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news to discuss here, so stay tuned. And we are back. We have a few news items to discuss, and unfortunately, the first one of these is extraordinarily unpleasant, but you've probably heard through the metal world at this point that last week, we received word that Trevor Strnad, longtime vocalist for melodic death metal greats The Black Dahlia Murder, had passed away at the tragically young age of 41. Very, very upsetting and unexpected, and Jesus, I think that's how old Alexi Laiho was, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's... At the moment, nobody really knows how he died, although, concerningly, the, you know, announcement post through various social media channels linked to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Not gonna make too many assumptions, but... Yeah, this one really hurts, especially for me, because during my, like, middle and high school days, you know, getting into the more extreme ends of metal, pretty much the first time I ever heard What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse, specifically the rock band, Black Dahlia Murder was, like, a constant fixture in my rotations, and even now, to this day, they're still very much, like, a top 10, like, all-time great for me. Like, very few bands I could think of have the kind of excellent, consistent track record of just fantastic metal greatness as they do. And what sucks about Trevor's passing in particular, it wasn't just that he was a great metal vocalist, it's that the man absolutely loved metal music and loved sharing that love through any way he could. He was a constant champion of, like, you know, smaller, up-and-coming metal bands. I actually have a friend in the local metal scene that, Trevor and company were, like, following on social media and, you know, giving them support when they could. Not to mention Trevor himself had frequent features on the website Metal Injection through a column called The Obituarist, where he, you know, constantly shared whatever metal music he was picking up on and listening to. And yeah, the guy was legit just someone who loved this genre and loved sharing that love with the world. So it's just, damn.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
I'm still, like, this is one of those bands that, like, I've always wanted to see, and I'm glad I got a chance to see them live back during the Nightbringers tour. That was a fantastic live show, but just, Jesus, it was only, like, 3 years ago, fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
But, obviously, rest in peace, and we send our condolences to his friends and loved ones during these rough times. But now, moving on to the next track. So, we're still waiting a ways for whenever news on that new Slipknot album is supposedly going to drop. They're probably going to need it because, well, they've made some questionable recent announcements, including, partnering with the Metaverse.
Huh?
And, at least for this particular article, they're apparently now being featured as playable characters in a multiplayer online battle arena game called Smite, Battleground of the Gods. All I really know about this game is that it's apparently published by Tencent in China. Because what isn't?
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, this isn't the weirdest cross-promotional platform thing I've seen. I mean, apparently Evangelion characters are going to be playable in PUBG.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Good old Public Battlegrounds G. Yeah, but, you know, I've heard about Smite so many times over the years. I have never once seen anyone actually play it or talk about it.
Is this, like, one of those things that's, like, you always see promoted tweets for it, but you don't see anyone talking about it? Or, like, it's one of those things that's sponsoring every other YouTuber, you know, like, Raid Shadow Legends?
I bet you that these are just nothing but money laundering ploys.
Well, I guess that must be where the band's head is at now, because that explains the whole Knotverse NFT bullshit. I'm going to insert a clip from the Star Wars prequels here. You probably have a decent guess as to which one's coming up.
You were the chosen one! It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them! Bring balance to the Force! Not leave it in darkness!
Anyway, Since I brought up the topic of movies, once again, Decibel Boost finds herself returning to the topic of the silver screen in a news piece that we can only describe as... Wait, seriously? Why? Because apparently, it has been announced that we are getting a sequel film to the heavy metal spoof classic, This Is Spinal Tap. Yes, the announcement comes courtesy of several people announcing the original, like director Rob Reiner, Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, and Harry Shearer. Per Reiner's words to Deadline, the plan is to do a sequel that comes out on the 40th anniversary of the original film. And I can tell you, hardly a day goes by without someone saying, "Why don't you do another one?" For so many years, we said, "Nah." It wasn't until we came up with the right idea how to do this. You don't just want to do it to do it. You want to honor the first one and push it a little further in the story. Asterisk, citation needed. Okay, I'm a little bit out of the loop here, but were people honestly begging for a Spinal Tap sequel?
I don't think so, but I mean, I guess if you have the means to do so, why not? That seems to be the modus operandi for a lot of these projects.
Yeah, no. Some folks are excited for it. I think get inspiration from Christopher Guest as a writer.
I get it.
Like this good. I mean, this good. Good know about that.
There is a bit of a synopsis of what this movie is going to be. They've played Albert Hall, played Wembley Stadium, all over the country and in Europe. They haven't spent any time together recently. Ian Faith, who was their manager, he passed away. Ian's widow inherited a contract that said Spinal Tap owed them one more concert. She was basically going to sue them if they didn't. All these years and a lot of bad blood we'll get into, and they're thrown back together and forced to deal with each other and play this concert.
Okay.
See you in 2024, I guess?
Yeah, that's like 2 years away.
Okay, oh, hey.
So, I mean, cool. I mean, sadly, there's one person that's not going to be around for it, that being Rick Parnell, who played drummer Mick Shrimpton. That's the guy in the film that died from spontaneous combustion.
Yeah. Such a sad epidemic, you know. Dozens of people spontaneously combust every year. It's just never reported. That's a reference, kids.
You know, all those drummers, man, they never survive. And yet somehow I'm still alive. I'm keeping an eye on you, universe. Time to move on to the last news topic here. And, you know, pretty much every news article we've discussed so far has been some flavor of unpleasant. Death, cross-promotional video game BS, sequel that I'm not entirely sure anyone else wanted. What else could possibly be, you know, in the pipeline? Apparently, rappers getting arrested for supposed high-level criminal gang activity. Ugh. This bullshit again. If you're wondering who's on the receiving end of all this, it's apparently a group of people related to YSL, that, you know, being the hip-hop record label associated with none other than rapper Young Thug, which I think is either supposed to abbreviate to Young Slime Life or Young Stoner Life. Wikipedia tells me different things. But, yeah, you might have already heard, but just as a quick recap, this past week, several people associated with YSL were arrested due to a grand jury indictment in Georgia's Fulton County based on conspiracy to violate the Racketeer Influenced and Corruption Organizations Act, apparently claiming that YSL is actually a gang and is basically, you know, using the whole record label thing as a front to finance criminal activity. Thug himself was among the 28 arrested, as well as rapper Gunna. Additionally, someone named Christian Eppinger, who I don't know if he's a rapper on the label or anything, but he was named as a part of all this due to an accusation of wounding an Atlanta police officer in February. Several of the charges against Thug include theft by receiving a stolen firearm in 2013, threatening to kill an employee at Perimeter Mall in 2015, and possessing meth and marijuana in 2017. as well as most seriously, charged with renting an Infiniti sedan used in a 2015 drive-by leading to the death of an alleged gang rival. I say alleged because we're talking about government entities trying to paint a bunch of rappers as, like, you know, heavily organized crime activity, and I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the time the FBI tried to label Juggalos as a gang, and I'm just here like...
What?
Oh, do you not remember that? That was a thing. I shit you not.
I must have forgot about it or didn't know, but Juggalos a gang?
Look, that's okay. Just kind of the vibe I'm getting here, because, again, you can't trust, like, the higher level legal powers on this. They are the kind of people that will probably lie to get their way. Scratch that. Definitely have lied to get their way.
Yeah. Especially since I think they used their lyrics just to prove some shit, like, basically pulling the same shit you heard from that one Boondocks episode.
Oh. Wait, which episode was that?
The Gangsta Losers one, where it said, okay, there's one scene where they play it by the jury. Playing for the jury. Playing for the... Yeah, like that.
Oh, it was Gangsta Licious. I was trying to remember if it was him or Thugnificent. But, yeah. I mean, really, we're citing rap lyrics as, like, evidence in a criminal court? Like...
Yeah. It's all seemed kind of sus. That's kind of sus.
Yeah, this is all relatively new. Lord knows how much information is going to drip out of it further in the coming weeks, but, like... Oh, listen. I'm just looking at this one quote here. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis said Tuesday at a news conference, announcing the charges that she respects the First Amendment right to free speech, but she believes the song lyrics cited in the indictment are overt and predicate acts that support the RICO charge. The First Amendment does not protect people from prosecutors using it as evidence if it is so. And I'm just sitting here like, okay, citing rap lyrics. Like, you do know that, okay, maybe there's sometimes truth in that, but for the most part, there's always at least a layer of pretend. Like, you know, someone like Killer Mike talks about, like, banging hoes and committing gang violence and shit, but he seems like a pretty chill dude with, like, a wife and kids and shit, you know? There's some level,
yeah.
There's some layer, you have to accept that there's a certain level to which all of this is sort of role play, for lack of a better term. Like, and you're really going to say, oh no, this Young Thug absolutely 100% meant what he said on these lyrics. Like, Jesus. But, yeah, it is what it is, so let's just see how much bullshit piles on from here. Probably going to be more bullshit.
Yep. Pretty much. Oh, and apparently, I didn't notice till now, or even until I found out, girl's name was Sergio Kitchens.
Sergio Giovanni Kitchens. That is...
Well, that sounds like a JoJo name.
Yeah, that is so aggressively Italian. you could practically imagine Gunna doing the pinched finger things. Yeah, that basically does it for the, news topic discussion. And we're pretty much going to move on to the last little thing here, where we have to talk about the new album releases for the week of May 20th, 2022. Starting right at the top, we have the newest album from Cave In with Heavy Pendulum. We have a new solo project from Dream Theater vocalist James LaBrie with Beautiful Shade of Grey. There's a new album from the band Septic Flesh with Modern Primitive. We have a new project from Flume with Palaces. From the boy band Hanson, we have Red, Green, Blue. What?
Why are we getting a new Hanson album in 2022?
Why are you asking that now? They've been going still for a while now. But
I mean,
Mbop was 25 years ago. Come on.
And they've apparently still been going on from there to the point where some people, Todd, argue that they're a legitimate pop act now. Anyway, I can make it much worse for you. There's a new album from the rotten, poisoned brain of Pat Monahan and friends, aka Train with AM Gold.
Best of the round!
Unfortunately. And there's a new project from Harry Styles with Harry's House. Scream. That's it, just scream. But now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, where I keep track of sports teams getting eliminated from the playoffs with Fall Guys gifts because of gimmicks. Why not?
Hear, hear. Mark, what about you?
On Twitter, my Twitter media, doing something, I suppose. I just don't know. And, of course, my HowlRunNetWorkPress.com, where I do some more shit there, but yeah.
Cool, cool. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so you can subscribe. Hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well for any reasons you so desire. Except God help us if you talk about Arby's. I'm keeping an eye on you.
No.
Don't eat the yellow snow, kids.
Now I know what they did.
No. It's don't eat the yellow milkshake.
I didn't look it up, but
that's not lemon flavored. I assure you. But
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said now I know what the story is, and I didn't look it up, y'all. I just pieced it together.
It gets worse when you look deeper into it. Trust me.
It gets so much worse. But, yeah, on that note, we are going to, wrap up this episode now. So, until next time, what a sad, sad day when McDonald's has to pull out of Russia. Sorry, Mr. Gorbachev, you failed.
You get no Big Mac.